And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering some ground in the northern part of the state. I'm talking about down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, so we're back, number two of the Dipper, but we got
some text messages.
Oh, dang, we got some
here.
Text that came in.
Yeah, we did. A few of them were about the push-ups.
Frick.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were a couple of them in here that they're going to blame me.
What? Blame you?
They're going to blame me if you don't get to all three Dippers today because you had to do your push-ups.
Well, hopefully it won't be for being out of breath. I'm good on that.
I hope.
What else is in there?
Let's see. JT from Lacey Springs, he said, well, since you did 50, can Boomer even do 50?
Boomer can do 50. I've seen Boomer do push-ups. He can knock out some push-ups. In fact, he's a lot younger than I am, so I feel confident.
I can knock out the 50.
You can knock out the 50.
I'd probably be huffing and puffing, too, though.
That's okay. You know what? Rightfully so. Okay, what else is in there? Daryl from Huntsville says, do the four count. No, Daryl, I'm not doing four count push-ups. I used to hate four count. I mean, I used to do them.
Ouch.
In the military. That was where basically it was one, two, three, one. All that basically was you were having to do it in stages. And sometimes they'd go one, and you had to hold it wherever they didn't count in. Two, up, three, down, four. And if they held you in the down position, they might hold you there for 30 seconds. You're just in the down holding. Ugh, ain't nothing fun about it.
No.
What else we got in there?
Let's see.
What was Bob from Madison saying? Be still and keep doing push-ups while he's eating donuts. I thought about it. I thought I was joking at one point. My legs were behind the desk. I could be on my knees just knocking these things out. Nobody would know.
Nobody could see it.
Yeah, but they would have seen it.
And they would have. I would have moved the camera.
You would have called in my man card if I had done that. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, listen, lots of good stuff. Oh, by the way, Leanne from Huntsville, because that whole thing there was about the downloads for the podcast, she reminded me, she said she got her Right Side Ruffian shirt back when we were celebrating getting 500 downloads. Now
wow.
We're pushing 100,000.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, Leanne. Thanks for reminding us of that. To which I think your response was, dang, that's incredible. And so that was Boomer that replied to you on the text line that time. Randall from Newmarket just finished saying to you, Boomer, you need to eat a donut for every push-up.
No. I don't think I could do that.
No, Randall, that's like bad for my man's health over there. I mean, I celebrate the donut. I don't celebrate the euthanasia by donut. That's just not a good idea.
I don't think I could eat that many.
All right. Wow. All right. Listen, hey, we're going to move to the next section of the Triple Dipper. Who was it that said we have to blame you if I didn't get my dippers done?
Oh, I need to look back and see, but it was somebody that they're going to blame me. So it was I don't know. We got so many texts.
Well,
it's so hard to
I know. It's hard to keep up. We have hundreds of people. By the way, if you have not experienced the text line with us, jump on. All right? The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's also the call-in line. You can do that.
It was John from Huntsville.
John from Huntsville. Yeah. but call or text in. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. I'm going to jump over to number two. All right. Black Gold, Texas Tea. Now, some of y'all are immediately in your mind singing the theme from the Beverly Hillbillies. Has anybody ever thought, how did he shoot a gun and strike oil? That's just amazing. I mean, that was running at almost like the surface level, but up through the ground came a bubbling crude. But Black Gold, Texas Tea. So here we are. You know, what's amazing to me is I was resourcing this section of the show. At one point, I was doing a search for stories on oil and gas industry news. It's amazing when you realize, oh, man, the talking points are out there. So it took forever to scroll past all of the Politico, Axios, and other stories that are determined to tell us that we never really were energy independent. No, that was a myth. Did you know that? That was a myth.
That was a myth?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, we were not a net exporter of oil. No. Mm. We were actually dependent upon other countries to make it work. That's such crap.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. So, first of all, story out on 1819 this morning that I didn't see until I'd already resourced the show for the day. points out that Governor Ivey just issued a grant for Alabama, another $2.5 million to help setting up the charging station infrastructure on major highways throughout the state for charging stations for electric vehicles. Okay, I get it. You know, I really don't. First of all, that's fine. That's fine. No, actually, it's not fine. Let me back up. I am not a fan of government subsidization of the industry. Tax credits, tax breaks are one thing. One-time incentives to help, you know, get a business to your area, I can sort of get it. But when you're literally having to underwrite the existence of a part of industry, then there's a problem. And the green energy sector is still to this day not capable of sustaining itself without government intervention. So right now, when you hear the Green New Deal, when you hear the Infrastructure Act, when you hear the Inflation Reduction Act, and all of the dollars being spent to bring us to a place of being green energy, you know, is the wave of the future, and we're on board now. Well, keep in mind, we didn't get there because the private sector invented the better mousetrap. We didn't. We got there because somebody had a neat idea, and government said, hey, we'll pay for that. I mean, meanwhile, you've got the private sector out there doing all it can to invent things that take us to the next level when it comes to industry and you know, technology. But yet, apparently the green energy sector can't survive unless government dollars are infused into it on a regular basis. So while I don't mind at all that we're going to have charging stations throughout some of the major highways and byways of Alabama, I'm fine with that. I really am. I am bothered by the idea that it takes government grants to make it happen. If the private industry wants to build electric vehicles, great. Then the private industry should help figure out how to put charging stations in. And oh, by the way, put charging stations in that don't take you a half hour to get a charge on your vehicle so you can go another 150 miles. I mean, the very idea that we are on the verge of trying to convert our entire nation to something that actually has a term called range anxiety attached to it is galling to me. Remember that? Remember we did a segment on that a while back, range anxiety, remember that?
Oh, I remember it, and we talked about people having, like, you know, generators in the back of their car, and I think one guy even got pulled over.
Yes, he was running an experiment. He ran a generator that was charging his car while he was driving it to see how long he could go. Guess what? It was a gas-powered generator.
Gas-powered generator.
Yes. So range anxiety is apparently a new psychosis that accompanies the ownership of a electric vehicle, because if you want to go for a trip, I mean, like, okay, so Boomer and I right now, we're in the Gadsden area right now. If we want to, you know, go to Huntsville, go to Birmingham, go to Chattanooga, which, you know, we're right smack in the center of kind of all three, or Rome, Georgia, we're in that apex between all three. Any one of those could create range anxiety if you're driving an electric vehicle.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I just went to Nashville this weekend. I'd probably have range anxiety going up there.
You'd have anxiety before you even got on the range. I mean,
exactly. Before I got to Bucky's.
And then what happens too if you come home at the end of the day, you're tired, and you pull in the garage or the driveway or whatever else, and you walk inside and you put your feet up and the day's over, and you forget that the next morning you've got to drive to Nashville or wherever, and you didn't charge your car overnight.
Oh.
Guess what? You're late.
Yeah, absolutely late.
So here's the thing. The grid right now can't sustain the amount of electric vehicle charging they're talking about putting in place anyway. And it's concerning to some who are actually paying attention. And I even had a caller call in once before that did an amazing job of explaining. And I've forgotten what his position was, but he's an engineer. I remember that. It explained the fact that literally, since the majority of North Alabama is on TVA, and the bulk of TVA's power plants are coal-fired, that then to charge a vehicle requires coal burning just to charge the vehicle. And when you take into account the amount of charge that is drawn down by an electric vehicle for an overnight full charge, you're looking at having to burn X number of pounds of coal. I mean, it's sort of counterintuitive. And when you increase the load on the grid by increasing the number of electric vehicles, which are charging overnight, which is typically the point when the grid is able to settle and not have as much draw on it, well, okay, you've just created a thing that we didn't have before. You now have massive load coming down at night on a coal-burning grid. Doesn't that seem counterintuitive? Switzerland, you ready for this? Fox News reports as of yesterday. Switzerland could ban electric vehicles from being used non-essentially this winter as government officials begin to brace for an energy crisis during the winter months. The Telegraph reported on Saturday Swiss officials have drafted emergency proposals that restrict power usage if things get bad this winter. For example, shops might have to reduce their hours, streaming services may need to be limited, buildings may only be heated to 20 degrees Celsius, which is 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Other bans would be things like concerts, theater performances, sporting events. They're going to have a tiered grid, crisis and emergency, and then three levels within each of those tiers. And as things intensify, it says, one of the things on the list is that electric vehicles would have to be limited to essential trips in order to reduce the burden on the grid. So you're already seeing the Green New Deal in Europe being called into question because they don't know if they can sustain it. We just saw recently, there was a story I had on the show not long ago, that in California, the grid cannot sustain the level of charge that they're looking at, and they're already asking people not to charge their vehicles to the full extent during peak hours. Wow. Okay, with that being said, I'm not against electric vehicles. I'm not. You want to drive, your EV, your Tesla, your Leaf, your whatever. Okay. But understand this. It's happening at the expense of a grid that is currently not prepared for it. It's happening at a time when government is having to basically underwrite the ability to put charging stations in. And none of it makes full sense yet, and yet we're being shoved into it at a pace that is beyond what we're ready for, in my opinion. I am not an electrical engineer. I did not sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But I'm looking at some of the energy policies coming out of this administration, and I'm wondering what in God's name is happening. So when we come right back, having laid all that as the foundation, we're going to jump right in to black gold Texas tea, because what we do have right now is the ability to be energy independent while we build out the EV structure. But it's as if the Biden administration is cutting off its nose to spite its face. And I got some oil industry news you're going to want to hear about what industry execs are saying about Biden's energy policies and what they think should or should not be done. Let's take the break, Boomer. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Jumping into number two of the triple dipper here, black gold, Texas tea. So, and by the way, I just had a text from JT from Lacey Springs says, hey, Texas tea trivia, where did Jed strike oil? Okay. My recollection, JT, was that he was hunting near an oil-rich swamp in, I feel like it was in Kentucky. I could be wrong. I know he was in the mountains. He's a mountaineer. Text it in, JT. If I'm wrong, I thought it was Kentucky. Anyway, we'll see. Listen, we got some new listeners on the line. We got Navy Phil. And we don't know where he's from yet. He's going to tell us. But Navy Phil, we're glad you're here. Thanks for your service. I know we had another one earlier, too. Didn't we have another one?
We had a couple new ones. Actually come in today. There's just new people every day. I love it.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it. And yes. The texts have already been going so fast, they're burying other texts. All right, so listen, I laid the groundwork on some of the issues we're seeing with the electric vehicle industry not yet being ready for a complete rollout. And granted, I know they've got a 10-year plan, but there's a lot to be done in 10 years. In the meantime, the Biden administration and the current leftists within the, they have the ear of the Biden administration are doing everything they can to shut down the current oil and gas industry, which has made America what it is today. And oh, by the way, is the way you don't have to have range anxiety when you go on the road. I mean, Charlene and I just drove to see family in Michigan recently. And that's a 12-hour drive. That's not going to happen if we're driving an EV. This is not. Fox Business has a story dated December 2nd, so what, 3 days ago. As the Strategic Petroleum Reserve falls to dangerously low levels, American Petroleum Institute President and CEO Mike Summers issued a warning to the Biden administration that a negligent plan to restore it could trigger another economically painful oil crisis. What he's saying basically is, you've been draining our Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and you're doing it for all the wrong reasons. And oh, by the way, you don't seem to have a plan for how you're going to refill it. That's a great point. So the Strategic Petroleum, this is a quote, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve unfortunately has become the Strategic Political Reserve. He said, we have grave concerns about how it is being so politicized. This is for emergency purposes, not to lower gasoline prices during a political season, Summers said on Friday morning, talking on Mornings with Maria. Maria Bartiromo, I guess. But I think doing this willy-nilly, he said, and doing it in a way that doesn't make sense for the market we're in, we could be dealing with another major oil crisis here in the next few weeks. He said, we're also real concerned, Maria, about how low it's gone. It's the lowest level since 1984, not necessarily because of market conditions, but because of political concerns. All right, so even still, you look at it and go, okay, what? So are we just missing something here? Because the press conference that the Pentagon spokesman John Kirby held the other day, he flat out said, well, the president's issued 9,000 permits for drilling on federal lands. There's plenty of opportunities for oil and gas companies to drill, to which the same guy I was talking about a moment ago, CEO Mike Summers of the American Petroleum Institute said, here's his quote to that. He said, that is such a myth. It's been debunked multiple times. The administration continues to use it. They make it seem like as soon as you get a lease, you can start drilling. That would not be the environmentally sound thing to do. You have to do a lot of prep work before you actually produce on those federal leases, including getting multiple permits, which, by the way, are being slow-rolled very often. This is me talking now. In the halls of the Department of Energy. So, yeah, he says that the administration ought to stop talking about these false statistics and instead get these permits approved. So there's that. Well, in the meantime, while we're draining our Strategic Petroleum Reserve and while we're literally claiming that they can drill on federal lands, but at the same time we've made it hard because we put a moratorium, I say we, Biden put a moratorium on the drilling of offshore leases and on federal lands, he's beginning to sort of move back to that, but he's put them in a position where, number one, they have to look at their bottom line. They have a duty to shareholders. Do we invest in something that they say they want to shut down? Because right now you got Biden out there going, we're going to shut down coal, and oh, by the way, we're going to clean up the economy and move everybody to EV within the next 10 to 20 years. When you do stuff like that, the guys who run the oil and gas companies go, do we invest the billions in drilling right now? What's our market look like? So that's all happening on this side. Guess what's happening elsewhere? Suddenly Venezuela, oh, you know, Venezuela, that socialistic country that's got an unstable dictatorship that we have sanctioned multiple times in recent years. Guess what? We can get their oil again. Isn't that cool? Well, oilprice.com, I got all the resources for the show. Oilprice.com, the owner of Continental Resources, and one of the faces of the shale revolution is a guy named Harold Hamm. He has criticized the Biden administration's decision to grant sanction relief to Chevron so he can restart operations in Venezuela. Yeah, so in the middle of the crisis, all of a sudden Biden goes, Venezuela, you bunch of socialists that are struggling to fund your government, we'll help you fund your socialism if you'll drill oil so we can buy from you, even though, you know, we don't want to drill our own. Calling the deal a sign of desperation per a Financial Times report, Hamm went on to blame the administration for killing the U.S. oil industry. He said, this is a Venezuelan deal. It's a good example, he says, of the desperation this administration is dealing with. They know what they did. They took the federal lands off the table. They know better, and shame on them. They want to put oil and gas out of business. And then he goes on to say also, when you look at Venezuelan oil, though, understand it's you can't make diesel from it. He said you can't make it out of tar, and he says that Venezuelan oil is filled with tar, and therefore we're looking at still having issues, even with Venezuelan oil. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. We'll come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Black Gold, Texas Tea.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Hour number three, the local, the state, the national, man, we cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I want to thank my son for sending in about my push-ups a moment ago. There's an old thing in the military, if you're doing your PT test and you drop down to do your push-ups, and they don't like them, they just don't count them. So they'll start going one, one, one. So my son sends me a text, and all he says is one, one, one. Dadgummit. He had no respect.
Man. Yeah. Can you believe he did that?
Doesn't that boy know who? Dadgummit.
Dadgummit.
Dadgummit. But yeah, we I'll take it. By the way, I ate a donut during the break, and that was a mighty fine donut, brother.
They're pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
Just passing them around. I got to share the love.
Well, you got family coming tonight to the house. I too know.
Yes. They'll enjoy the
you'll
rest.
You'll take the rest of them. Hey, you make sure my adopted nephew gets one.
Oh, of course. All right. He probably will take the box and run away.
Tell him Uncle Phil sent those.
Oh, he'll love that.
All right. Hey, I'm back in number two of the Triple Dipper, Black Gold, Texas Tea. So, oil industry executives, according to Fox Business Storyline, December 2nd, oil industry executives have really just come out hard against the Biden administration here recently. The first story that I read you a while ago dealt specifically with the lowering of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, with the fact that the Biden administration is trying to say, well, they can drill on, we lifted the moratorium. We've authorized like 9,000 leases on federal lands. Yeah, but you held them for how long? And we still have to go through the permitting process, which you've made torturously painful. And just because you say we've got a lease now, that's like saying that, okay, we've got ground we can build a house on now, but the house doesn't go up in one day. Harold Hamm is the guy who is the owner of Continental Resources. I started to say right before the break that he is literally one of the faces of the whole shale oil revolution. You know, the ability to do, I guess, fracking and extract oil from shale. He calls the fact that we just entered into a sanctions relief deal with Venezuela a complete sign of desperation. And he says literally that the Biden administration ought to be ashamed. Well, here's a story from CNN on that. So there's no good way to spin this. I mean, the Biden administration is literally just, they're lifting sanctions and dealing with people that are bad actors so they can avoid having to do what we need done here at home and create an opportunity for the United States. So CNN reports as of December 2nd, the Venezuelan government and American oil company Chevron have signed a contract in Caracas on Friday to resume operations in Venezuela. Now, Chevron has been there for a long time, but there's been a moratorium on drilling in Venezuela due to sanctions because of their, humanitarian crisis and socialist tendencies and anti-American rhetoric. Anyway, this contract aims, it says, quote here, this contract aims to continue with the productive and development activities in the energy sector framed within our Constitution and the Venezuelan laws that govern oil activity in the country, said Venezuelan oil minister Tarek Al-Assemi, the same person who was slapped, that person was slapped with U.S. sanctions in 2017. Yeah. Yeah, so Tarek Al-Assemi, the same person who we personally sanctioned in 2017, attended the signing ceremony along with representatives from Venezuelan state-owned oil and natural gas company PDVSA and Chevron. The move, it says, comes after the United States granted Chevron limited authorization to resume pumping oil, following an announcement that the Venezuelan government and the opposition group had reached an agreement on humanitarian relief. and will continue to negotiate for a solution to the country's chronic economic and political crises. Oh, by the way, how about you also, Venezuela, stop opening up your prisons and sending all your released prisoners to our southern border? That'd be nice. How about that? That'd be an amazing thing. But in the meantime, we'll deal with it because we don't want to drill our own oil. We want you to do it. Well, so here's another fairly new development. This is a November story from The Guardian. By the way, I even wrote it on my notes. You can see it here on the screen right now. When I highlight these things and make notes on it, I actually literally wrote liberal at the top of this one just to remind myself what I had in my hand. The Guardian has an article from November, and it says, here's the headline, oil and gas firms planning frightening fossil fuels growth. You see what we're up against here? Oil and gas companies, it says, are planning a frightening expansion that would result in 115 billion tons of climate heating CO2 being pumped out, equivalent to more than 24 years of U.S. emissions, a new analysis has found. This is the equivalent of the sky is falling, the sky is falling. That's what you're seeing here. Virtually all oil and gas companies, it says, are planning further exploitation of fossil fuels because, let me just make sure y'all understand, that's what oil and gas companies do, is they exploit fossil fuels. They exist for the sole purpose of providing profit to their shareholders by drilling for oil. The report found that there's an effort to pour almost $160 billion into future exploration since 2020. None of the investment, here we go, you ready? None of this investment is compatible with the International Energy Agency's route to reaching zero or net zero emissions by 2050. Because that's what matters to the average American citizen. Hey, I've got to get to work. I need to stop and get gas before I run late. Wait, I don't know if I should do this or not. Does this help the IAE or the IEA's efforts to reach net zero across the world, limiting the climate crisis? So at the recent COP27 conference, the climate summit they had in Egypt, leaders were warned that deep and rapid cuts to carbon emissions are needed to avoid climate catastrophe. Because if you remember, it was acid rain in the 70s. And then the polar bears were sailing away in the distance on broken off icebergs in the 80s and early 90s. And then now global warming has taken over where, you know, we used to have that. And then it changed into climate change. Because that way they can use that kind of amorphous title to add anything they wanted to it. So the COP27 conference, leaders have been warned that deep and rapid cuts to carbon emissions are needed to avoid climate catastrophe. Climate catastrophe! But the analysis found that 655 of 685, that's 96%, of the exploration and production companies have expansion plans. Oh, no. Do you mean to tell me that a private sector industry, which is existing to make a profit with the purpose of exploring for oil and gas, plans to actually explore for oil and gas and maybe do the best job they can? Dang. Oh, the humanity. The IEA, that's the International Energy Agency, which we could care less about, said in 2021 that no new fossil fuel projects could go ahead from 2022 if the world is to tackle global heating and its worsening impacts on billions of people. What they're literally saying, folks, just to go ahead and break it down for you, is they went to this. They all flew, by the way. They all flew to the conference in Egypt, just so you know. They all flew to the conference in Egypt and probably had to run the air conditioning in the buildings they were in. And I'm sure they ate well on food that was cooked over gas stoves. But nonetheless, while they were there, with a straight face, it was said, we cannot allow any future fossil fuel projects to go past the year 2022. Otherwise, we're not going to reach net zero. What the heck? What do they think's going to happen? So here it goes on, and I'll kind of wrap this one up. Ergovald's analysis is based on a company-level database that covers the companies accountable for 95% of the oil and gas production. The data allows assessment of whether a company's activities are in line with the IEA's net zero emissions scenarios. The companies don't exist to please the IEA. This is what happens when you get into ESG mode. This is what happens when companies are told to stop making a profit and start doing things that the liberal activists say should be done. Hey, You shouldn't be out there making a profit, you silly corporate manager. You should be doing what we say, which is, I don't know, using your corporate wealth to do good progressive things. Anyway, that's what ESG is for. And it ends with Katrine Gonsvelt at Ergovald saying, the oil and gas companies are betting against our collective future. No, they're not. They're making sure our future stays active and mobile. That's what they're doing. They're making sure people can heat their homes. And by the way, they're making sure that they make a profit in the process, which is the way America grew in the first place. All right, a little more on this when we get back. Taking a break right now. Coming back from it to wrap this thing up. And then we'll move into the last one because I believe, Boomer, I'm feeling good after my push-ups, man. I believe we're going to hit all three dippers today.
All right. I can't blame me.
All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, I had one of our listeners sent me a Facebook image of the womlet he got this weekend at Just Love Coffee Cafe, which looked pretty daggum good, I'll be honest. And he said he literally was thinking, what am I going to do for breakfast? And he remembered hearing it on the show and sent back the picture of the womlet and then the picture of his empty plate afterwards and said, awesome. So let me just tell you, Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. You need to stop by and check out the menu because do they have coffee? Oh, yeah, award-winning coffees, great ones. I mean, they got all of what Charlene calls the treat coffees and, you know, the lattes, espressos, cappuccinos, but they've also got award-winning dry roast. They can grind the beans fresh, make you a steaming cup of black coffee. Take a breakfast, take a lunch, take an afternoon break. Just go by and hang out, but the menu there is also incredible. Sandwiches, wraps, salads, waffles, omelets called womlets. They cook in a waffle iron. I mean, it's all just so good. Check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I love that. All right, I got somebody held on during the break, so let me grab that line real quick. Line one, Alan from Hartsell. Alan, how you doing today?
I'm upright and breathing, just like I told Boomer.
Well, good. Glad of it.
There's a whole lot of things in this oil business. I was worked with Exxon for roughly 11 years, and I left, got out of it back in the 80s. But this is nothing new. The oil that was coming out of Alaska ended up in China, Japan, and South Korea.
Wow.
Okay. The oil that now the great state of California says they're going to put a stop to this. Well, they were one of the only two refineries that could handle that oil that could have made them independent. No, we can't have that. It might mess up our beaches. So now there's state legislature. We're going to force oil companies to comply to our rules. But now Exxon, Chevron, and Texaco all comes from the same loading facilities in Birmingham, Alabama. Same company. Only thing is you bill each one differently. But it's the same stuff.
Huh.
It's like a lot of oil. Other oil companies, they don't even have facilities to refine. And all of a sudden, they say, wait a minute. We can't let that be known. Now, you're going to, and then he says he has all these oil permits to be drilled.
Yeah.
You're going to spend several million dollars to drill an oil well that might work and might not, might be functional. But they put so many restrictions on it, there's no way you can afford it not producing.
Yeah.
Now, that stuff from Venezuela, guess what? Citgo went out of business because they were taken over by government in Venezuela.
Yeah.
Citgo doesn't exist anymore. Now we're going to go right back and deal with the same bunch of communists the same way, and this man is draining the oil reserve. What's going to happen if there's no oil left for the military? What's going to happen?
I totally agree.
They're going to walk right in.
Alan, but go ahead.
I was saying, I'm just a dumb transport driver and oil worker. I say oil worker. The oil refinery man used to come in every 2 weeks. We'd sit down and have a little discussion. It didn't exist. That company doesn't exist anymore. It went under.
Yep.
So these government folks that say that they've got the answers, I want them to build these wind turbine stuff in Biden's backyard because it's not going to work. It'll never work. And they keep saying, well, we need it to be a world economy. Well, if everybody's broke, how good is the economy?
That's a great point. Alan, got to run before I run out of time, man. Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, that's spot on. And oh, by the way, I'm pretty sure that you were smarter than most of the executives you worked with. But you have a good one, man. Have a great day.
You too, bud.
All right, take care. He's right, though, and he's talking about the restrictions they put on it. And by the way, refining capability is not where it needs to be in the United States. So it's not just a matter of getting it out of the ground. You still got to refine it for use. And then you look at, okay, so the Biden administration, a moment ago, I talked about the fact that, you know, we've got literally a moratorium placed on the leases on federal lands. Now they've begun to lighten up on that. And now they're wanting to go, why aren't you drilling? Well, it doesn't work that way overnight. And then Alan made a great point a moment ago. And the restrictions they put on them, the burdens they put on them, wind up impeding the capabilities of the oil and gas companies to provide, and they're the ones getting fussed at. Here's a story off of NBC News. NBC News. One more example of what comes out of things like the COP27 conference. The Biden administration in November announced plans to significantly tighten regulations against methane emissions from domestic oil and gas drilling. So here's what they're doing. They're basically they're moving the goalposts. The Environmental Protection Agency said the proposed standards would reduce methane from the oil and gas sector by 87%. The United States is once again a global leader in confronting the climate crisis. We must lead by example when it comes to tackling methane pollution, one of the biggest drivers of climate change, said EPA Administrator Michael Regan. The strengthened regulations call for companies to reduce emissions from gas flaring and establish a, quote, super emitter response program that allows federal regulators and approved third parties to quickly identify and respond to major. You know, I get it. I'm okay with making it cleaner. I'm okay with being a good steward of our environment. I'm okay with it. But don't try and, you know, just basically don't. I won't try. I'm about to use a crude. I'm about to use a crude analogy from the military. I won't use it. The bottom line is this. Don't tell me one thing and do another. Don't try and pretend that you're trying to keep the economy alive when you know for a fact you're shutting down a whole sector of it. Don't try to pretend that we're ready for EVs because we're not. And in the meantime, if you want to bring EVs online, don't shut down the oil and gas industry while you do. Make the private sector compete for the better mousetrap and bring it all together in a way that benefits the consumer and profits the corporations. That's the way capitalism works. And what we're seeing right now is a government-subsidized push to crush one industry in favor of another and even fund the other, all at the expense of Joe and Jane Citizen. And that's maddening. All right, that's the end of Dipper number 2 of Black Gold Texas Tea. Coming up next, Musk on a Roll. That sounds like something we eat for breakfast. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.